Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 10th day of July, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Be Courageous. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Embeth. Callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible to allow as many to participate as possible. We are in the question and answer mode. If you're not sure what that means, you can go to the freeconferencecall.com website and they will explain that. Our website is PastorDan.net, and that's all together with no spaces or any special symbols, just plain old PastorDan.net. On that website, you'll find the schedule for calls. You'll also find archives of past calls, lots of news items, reference items, health tips, study guides, even one page we've added of to lock and load. A new page for that, which is to explain to people about weaponry and ammunition. A lot of our folks aren't up to speed with that. The new word we have for the week is kakistocracy. We've talked about that a few different times. KAKISTOCRACY, kakistocracy, which is defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes, which is pretty much what we have here in America today and practically every white nation. There may be a few minor exceptions, but most all Western nations have given in to being governed by a kakistocracy. There's a YouTube channel out by Rob, Servant of Yahshua, or Servant of Jesus on YouTube. He's got he had put out one, Die on Your Feet or Live on Your Knees. And that goes along with our agenda for today on why we are to be courageous. Our Heavenly Father called us out to not be cowards, but be courageous. These are times that will try men's souls, it's been written. And our Father, through the Scriptures, told us that at the end of the age there would be a great shakening. In the Greek language, of course, that great shakening is talking about not only natural upheavals, for instance, some major earthquakes recently in North America and in South America. And I just saw tonight some headlines about some possible tropical storms and or hurricanes getting ready to hit the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic coast of the United States. So be on the lookout for that. Just got a note from one of our listeners in Texas that apparently they've got a bad storm there and they just lost the audio connection. So depending on what part of the country you're in, I'm trying to answer there real quick here. Depending on what part of the country you're in, you may have trouble with connections as well. Fortunately, here in South Florida, tonight is calm at the moment. We do look like we may get some rain later on, but right now it's calm, so praise Yahweh for that. But different parts of the country are being pummeled as of late. So be on guard for that. Like I said, it's not only the ideological war that we're in against this enemy that's hell-bent on turning this world into a Bolshevik hell, a Jewish Bolshevik hell. It's also a war against us on the physical front with the geoengineering and contamination of our food supplies. Now the big push is vaccinations. There was one report I read today where one of the new schemes is they're trying to tout that vaccines have a side benefit that may actually help us fight cancer. Imagine that. See, people are waking up to the dangers of vaccines, the connection between them and autism, etc. So what do the Jews do? Because they're the ones in the marketing business and own the pharmaceuticals and vaccine companies. So they have the profits that they want to make. So what do? Do they fess up that they've been caught and, you know, people are figuring them out? No, they just change tactics. So now they want the sheep to believe that somehow these poisonous vaccines are going to help the body fight cancer. When everybody that knows anything about cancer knows that we've known how to fight cancer for many, many decades. And the greatest weapon to fight cancer is your own immune system, your own body. Virtually any illness. So any bacteria, any virus, any germ, any fungus, any mold, the greatest defense you have is a healthy body. Now, let me ask you, is it easier to just focus on trying to stay healthy, or is it easier trying to follow all these Jewish propaganda lies that are telling you that the latest drug or the latest vaccine is what you need? And then you find out that it's laced with all kinds of poison, it doesn't work, it's ineffective. Oh, geez, sorry, we had a side effect. We didn't know that it was going to cause your death. But you know what? Congress did us a favor and passed the law that you can't sue us for malpractice or malfeasance or for producing a vaccine or a pharmaceutical that does you harm. Because, geez, after all, we're Jews. So you don't have a right to sue us and make us be accountable. We're God's chosen. How dare you think that we should be held accountable? Isn't that great? Being God's chosen? Of course, they're the ones saying that they're God's chosen. They're really not. As John in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, both of them, verse 9, point out that they are the fake Jews. They're the fake people of the Bible. They're not the Israelites of the Bible. They're imposters. They're Satan's kids. It's unbelievable. So we have a lot of fronts that we're fighting here, trying to raise our own children, be responsible for our own health care. Wasn't that a slick move, how they got us into thinking government has a right to make a decision about our health care? Remember when that argument all started in Obamacare? How quickly we went right past questioning why is government even talking about our health care? They have no mandate. They have no authority in our health care. None. They don't have a right to make a law. They don't have a right to protect the insurance companies. They don't have a right to have any say at any level, state or federal, about our health care. None. But they got us talking about whether we should have our own plans or accept Obamacare. But either way, you're accepting the government has some say in this when they don't have any say whatsoever. That's why my own personal walk has always been, I don't really care what these bastards do in government. They have no business in my health care. I'm not going to go to them for permission to do anything. And I'm sure as hell not going to follow their advice on anything. They're bought and paid for whores. as our president and the governor of Florida have proven, they're whores to these Zionists. Why would I trust them in anything that they say? But again, you go whichever way you want to go. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to trust the Heavenly Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that tells me to go natural. In everything I do, I will go natural. And one day, yeah, guess what? One day, I'm going to die. And you know what? It's got nothing to do with whether I went natural or not. It's just got to do with that's the way of this world. It's what our Father made. Who are we to question it? So one day you're going to expire. There's nothing you can do about that. Why, in the meantime, would I allow a bunch of whores in Tallahassee or another bunch of whores in Washington, D.C. make up my decisions about how I'm going to live my life or what I'm going to do about my health care? You know, it's like they say, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. These prostitutes and whores in government shouldn't throw stones at anybody. How dare they criticize you or me about what we do with our families, our children, how we raise them, how we take care of ourselves? Look at them. Look at them. They're pedophiles. They're drug addicts. They're porn addicts. They're liars. They're traitors. They're deceivers. They're sick. And these people, this cacistocracy, is what you're going to trust to make decisions for you? You know, the scripture says that we're to come out of Babylon. How do you come out of Babylon, do you think? You know, we talked about what's worship. You know, Yahweh says if you worship any other god or Elohim, which Elohim can apply to magistrates and earthly people, by the way. Did you know that? Elohim is a term that can apply, depending on the context, to like a magistrate. So when we use the word God, we use it a lot of times in the same way our ancestors used Elohim in the original language. Okay? So if you worship, like some people say that somebody in Hollywood is a god or a goddess, you see what I mean? They're lifting them up, elevating their status. So what do you think Father meant when he said, if you worship any other god but me, you don't deserve me, and I'm a jealous god, you're going to invoke my anger? It means if you elevate another human being to a level over him. Now, what part of your life doesn't God, Yahweh, govern? What part of your life is he not governing? Okay? What part of your life is it okay for you to go and create other gods for? Somebody, you want to call in and tell me about that? I would like to know. What part of your life do you have the right to enlist another god or an idol to help you manage that part of your life? Tell me. What part of your life does that apply to? I'd like to know. Like I said, as Joshua told the Israelites of his day, you choose this day which way you want to go. As far as me and those that I love and care for, we're going to go follow the Father Yahweh to the bitter end, no matter what comes from it, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the consequences. Duty is ours, as General Stonewall Jackson said. Duty is ours. Consequences belong to our Heavenly Father. My duty is to follow Yahweh and to tell you why I believe that's the way we should go. What you do about it's your business. Now, in my own life, following this simple plan has worked very well. And a lot of my friends have told me, well, Dan, you have to have a plan. You have to have an earthly plan, a man-made plan. You got to work to your plan. They're constantly telling me that. Well, what's your plan? I said, I don't have a plan. I live one day at a time, day to day, and my only plan from the time I get up in the morning till I lay my head down at night is to be a man of Yahweh and to follow his law to the best of my ability. That's it. That's my plan. Other than that, there is no plan. to me, the best laid plans of mice and men come to what? To no avail. Okay, so you can make all the plans you want, but if you're not right with the Father, what good is it? I'd really like to know, what good is it? So anyway, there has been on Coach Dave, hold on a minute, I just said something pop up on my, okay, I don't want that. CoachDaveLive.com has been talking about states' rights, as have the libertarians and the propertarians. Even the Florida Maquis has been talking about it. John Mark talks about it. It's a thing that's a time for that discussion is now. States' rights, okay? We've had infiltrators take us down the path of strong central government. Our founding fathers didn't trust that, because that when they left England, of course, there was a strong central government and a tyrant king, okay? Because they didn't have a biblical monarchy. They had a tyrant king. And so they were very distrusting of large central government, just like Moses in the Bible and all of the biblical monarchies that followed in like Parthia, Scythia, the Ostrogoths, and wherever our people went. Okay, there was leadership at the top, but government, the day-to-day government, was at the local level. The king did not get involved with day-to-day activities. Even back in America in the 1940s and 50s, you did not read much in the local newspapers about Washington, D.C. I remember my parents and I talking about it as that slowly changed through the 1970s. But back in the 50s, when I was a boy and I was just starting to read newspapers for school assignments and for my mom and dad's assignments, it was rare to have anything in there about Washington, D.C. Most everything was at the county level, a few things about the state, but almost nothing about Washington, D.C. Maybe one to two articles a week. That was it. And now you can't get away from it. They push that stuff on us almost 24 hours a day. Do you see how the brainwashing is? Okay, so within my lifetime, we went from local and state government being much more important, much more in the news, much more talked about at the local level, to where now almost nothing at the county level. Everything's at the state, and mostly it's at the federal level. Do you see how that paradigm shift has come in there? And the reason I picked Be Courageous is because Coach Dave Davimir today had a segment on his program where some folks had come up with a song, We Are to Be Courageous. Now, I wanted to read the lyrics of that song because I can't play the song for you, but it fits with this day and age, all right, because it does take courage to stand out from the crowd. It takes courage to say, I'm going to go with our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. I'm going to follow the biblical example. I'm going to lead a life that I think is what my Father in Heaven wants me to lead, regardless of what everybody else says. That takes courage, because you're going to get flack. You're going to get called names. You're certainly going to have the Jew do everything they can to denigrate you and to lambast you. Okay, so it does take courage. It takes courage to stand up to your children. It takes courage to stand up to your wives. It takes courage to stand up to your neighbors and to even fellow identity when you get into disagreements over scripture or ways of doing things. So this song it's called Courageous. And just listen to the lyrics of this song. And if you go to Coach Dave Live or Coach Dave for today, today's date, the 10th of July, he plays the song. They go through the lyrics. And just listen to the words of the lyrics. And as you're listening to these words, Think about how they apply to us today, okay? We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We're not followers, folks. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing, unafraid. But now we are watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. Of course, Lord, it should say, we will serve Yahweh. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. You know, I read a article here the other day, and I think it was a quote of Gandhi, but it might have been somebody else, that in order to change the world, why don't you become the change you'd like to see in this world? You know, a lot of times people sit around going, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, I want to, you know, this should be this way or that, but you look at their own lives and it does not reflect what they think you and I should do. It gets back to what we've said on the program many times. You lead by example. Just like the kings of old, okay? If the kings of old or the commanders, the generals of old or the monarchs of old thought something was worth fighting for, they went down personally and addressed the troops. Whether it was the citizen soldiers as the Spartans and the hoplites and the Greek city-states, many of the warriors were craftsmen and farmers, etc., basically like militiamen. And some were professional soldiers, like the Spartans. But they would go down and address these men and tell them what they thought the threat was that was worthy of them fighting and dying for. And then these men would lead the soldiers into battle. They wouldn't send the soldiers into battle. They would lead the soldiers into battle, putting their life on the line. Would we have such leaders in this country today? We got a lot of people want to send your sons and daughters into battle. Where the hell are they? Sitting safely in Washington, D.C., sitting safely in the state capitals, sitting safely in the Pentagon, sitting safely in some bunker buried underneath 5 or 6 feet of concrete while your sons and daughters are out on the battlefield dying. Now, leaders need to be right out front with all the rest. This is our resolution. Our answer to the call, we will love wives and children. We refuse to let them fall. We will reignite the passion that we buried deep inside. May the watchers become warriors. Let the men of God arise. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous, Lord. Make us courageous. Of course, again, Lord should say Yahweh. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. In the war of the mind, I will make my stand. In the battle of the heart and the battle of the hand. In the war of the mind, I will make my stand. in the battle of the heart and the battle of the hand. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous, Lord, make us courageous. We were made to be courageous. Lord, help us and make us courageous. And again, that was I've got a YouTube link to that if you wish to find the lyrics. And if you go to if you go to Coach Dave Davimer for today, you will find that he plays that about 20 minutes into his show. Now, one other little piece or tidbit I picked up today was a quote. Believe it or not, it was Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president. Henry, I'll get you in just a second, buddy. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. And again, if you need the links for that, I'll be glad to send them to you. But again, timid. It's not time to be pansies, it's time to be warriors. Henry, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, Dan, welcome back. I heard you reciting that song. I heard that song today. I listened to that link you sent me from Dave, and when I heard the song, I immediately recognized the song. I used to listen to that song. If the people listening want to actually listen to just the song itself, all they got to do is, the name of the band is called Casting Crowns, and of course the name of the song is Courageous, and right. They do some other really good songs. Back in the day, I went through a phase where I was listening to some quote unquote Christian rock. This is one of the bands though that I kind of stuck with. Some of them kind of went by the wayside for the wrong reasons, but this is a really good group, and that is a very good song. We have several really good songs, but that's one of them. So when I heard it, I just thought I'd mention that to you, to the people listening. They can just Google Casting Crowns and Courageous, and they can just listen to the song if they want to.
Oh, that's very good. You're right. That way they don't have to listen, try to find it within Dave's broadcast today, because that was an hour long. So that's really good. Casting Crowns, and the song is called Courageous, so that's good. Anything else going on that we need to know about, Henry?
Well, I might, just listen. I want. I know this is a little early for me to call into your program. I usually like to listen to you rant for about an hour at least. because I actually look forward to that. I like that. One other thing I thought I'd mention to you, maybe to you and to some of the listeners who have been inclined to listen to this guy on the internet. I know you've sent me a couple links by this guy, and I told you I didn't believe this guy was legit. I have I pretty much have the proof now that he's a gatekeeper, and that's this tall guy, Owen Benjamin.
Yeah.
I can tell you some things. In fact, I could send you a link if you're interested. It's pretty much about a 15-minute link. And if you heard some of the shit that this guy says, I know the first handful of times I've listened to this guy, I'm like, this is good. He's funny. He lets them have it, and you know what I'm talking about, and this is really good. But I listened to him a few times, and the first thing I noticed is most of the people who follow him, because I was watching the chat, they seem like they're like little groupies. They're like little feminized little groupies, and this is their hero. And this guy, you know, but he, and like you said, you know, he does bash some of these guys really bad. But I can tell you a few things. Just for example, he completely supports Israel. Okay, because he calls himself a nationalist, and of course he refers to Israel as being a nationalist nation, and he's in complete support of the nation of Israel. Okay, that's number one. He actually supports their subhuman treatment of the Palestinians. He says this, especially when they took over in 1948. I mean, that's just sick. Let's see. I wrote down a couple of things here. He also, like so many of the other idiots, like, I can't think of the names that come to my mind right now, Jordan Peterson, some of the others. I've heard a lot of these people who come out and initially are very attractive to conservatives until they find out what their real motivations are. Another thing that I've heard Owen Benjamin say is people dislike the Jews because they're envious. Okay, I can send you the link where you'll hear all of this stuff right out of his mouth. So I'm not making any of this up. I'm not. It's not my slant on anything he said. These are direct quotes I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We don't need to hate these people. Of course, he's talking about the Jews. We need to emulate them. Okay.
Yeah, I've not heard him say that. So it's interesting that you're telling me that.
When I'm done, I've got a couple more quotes, and when I'm done, okay, if you tell me to, I'll send you the link where you can hear it directly out of his mouth.
I'll just give you a couple more.
Hate the media, of course, who happen to be mostly Jews, not the Jews. The Jews are answering to someone higher up in the Illuminati hierarchy. That's who we need to put our hate into. Hitler was terrible, he says, I hate actual Nazis, okay? I could go on, but I think you get the drift here. I mean, right. So, you know, he'll attack the Alan Dershowitzes and some of the actors in Hollywood and so forth and so on and come off as a big anti-Semite, but in actuality, he's pro-Israel all the way. So... he's a gatekeeper. That's my definition anyway of gatekeeper. So he's got his little he's got his following there, and they're like loyal to him, like little cocks actually. And so just, you know, this is what happens. I mean, I appreciate it when someone tells me. When some of these new people come on the scene, it's very easy if you only listen to these people for an hour or a couple of times on YouTube or whatever, they usually start off, if they start off saying some things that you agree with, you're like, wow, this guy's pretty cool. I actually remember the first time I heard Jordan Peterson, I was impressed. And then my brother was listening to him. He was saying, hey, I like this guy, Jordan Peterson. So I listened to him a couple more times, and I found out what a total dirtbag he was. So I appreciate it when someone else, who I consider a friend, tells me, hey, maybe you ought to listen to this guy a little more because he may not be what you think he is. So that's the only reason I'm saying it to you. God knows you listen to an awful lot of stuff. You provide some of the greatest links. I mean, I look forward to the links when you say, I don't listen to all of them, I don't watch them all, but I pick out a lot of them, and I'm very appreciative of that. So I know you go through a lot of material. And it's almost impossible to listen to all these guys. You only have so many hours in a day. So I just happened to pick up on this guy. I didn't trust him almost from the outset. My instincts were good, so I followed up on it, and I found this. So I figured I'd just share it with you and share it with anybody who's listening who might think this guy is pretty cool. He's not. He's a piece of shit. So that's
well,
that.
That's just a double witness because, like yourself, over the past 3-4 days, I've picked up a few of the things that he's been talking about, and I was not very happy with him anyway. So I'm not surprised about what you're saying, and you're right. You know, a lot of these newcomers are saying what we would expect a truther to say, only to find out that down the road when because they can't hide what they really are forever. They're shills for the Zionists. So,
right.
You know.
And that's the modus operandi. That's how they get their attraction. They get these people to follow them. And it's always what they, you know, it's usually what they don't say that gives them away. But in this case, I actually have the words right out of his mouth. And he couldn't be more obvious about where his allegiance really is to. He's just like, wow. You know, he comes off as this, like, he really appeals to, like, I don't know if you ever seen, I'm sure you've seen some of his live streams. If you haven't, what he does is he's got, for all I know, this is a total setup and it's total fake. I don't know, but he's supposedly got this farm somewhere in the, I think it's in the Northwest.
Washington State.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so he goes in his backyard, and he's got his goats, and he's got his chickens and whatnot, and he's telling everybody all the right things, you know, live off the land and natural foods and all this stuff. So he's saying a lot of good things, and he's bashing a lot of the individual Jews, some of the actors, you know, like Seinfeld and, you know, individual Jews. That's easy to do. They don't care about that. But the important stuff, like I say, the things I quoted to you, tells you all you need to know about where you stand on the things that really matter. So, and that's how they operate. They always do, and it's very easy to fall for that shit if you're not experienced at listening to these kind of people. To look for the signs of what they're really trying to do. So, and that only comes with. Really, hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of listening to these different people, the way they come across. They've mastered that technique of deception, and the newcomers are fooled so easily. So I figured if there's any people in the audience who are relatively new at some of this stuff and maybe have been influenced by someone like this dude, it's like... take my word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. I can send you that link. But I don't know. There was something I wrote down on a pad a week or so ago when I heard this stuff. And to me, it was just a nail in the coffin. I had already made up my mind that this guy was not legit. But when I heard those actual words out of his mouth, I just said, okay, this has to be put out there.
Yeah,
you know.
Something else that came out recently is that he's admitted that he's part Jewish himself.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's not surprising now. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Whew.
Yeah. So, he's... You're right. You know, we got to be careful about who we listen to, but... in the beginning, he was saying a lot of the right things, but over time, things started drifting to the deceptive side, and then he reveals that somewhere in his lineage, he's got Jewish blood in him, and he starts apologizing for Jews and telling us this and that, and personally, I think he's also in favor of race mixing. He doesn't see anything wrong with that, so again...
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, it makes me wonder when I see someone like that who gets really popular pretty fast from what I can see. And I take notice of, I watch the chat box as it's going, and it fills up with it seems like a lot of young kids. I mean, his live streams are like during the day when most people should be working, and it's filled up with, it seems like, mostly young guys, and they're spewing up their Jewish hatred, and it makes you wonder if the purpose of this whole live stream that he's got set up is to, you know, kind of get records on people who are Jew haters. I wouldn't put it past them. I'm getting leery of stuff like that. These chat boxes where people are, openly voicing their, you know, hatred for what the Jews have done to society and whatnot. And it makes you wonder if this is a device that they've got in place to start collecting more information on those who should be punished in the near future when the New World Order fully implements their master plan. Who knows?
That is their plan, all right?
Yeah.
It is their plan. And it's like my good friend from Tennessee told me a long time ago, why do you think they call it the net? All right?
Exactly.
Okay, everybody thinks it's short for network, but it's a net, okay? Then we find out the NSA and the government was behind the whole internet to begin with, so that they could do what Israelis do, spy on everybody, get everybody doing electronic communications, because they can spy on that. It's very difficult to spy on handwritten letters and analog phone calls back in the day, ham radio transmissions back in the day, okay? Very difficult. So they had to get a platform there people would dive into, like Facebook and everything else, and just reveal everything to them so that they could spy on us easier.
Yep, that's exactly what Facebook is all about.
But here's the beautiful thing, okay? The beautiful thing scriptures tell us, and common sense and the Holy Spirit tell us, Father says that all the plans that they have for my children will be turned around on them double. So in the end, all of these things that they have invented to enslave his people and destroy his people will be turned around and used to round them up for destruction. And you can see that it's going to happen. Now, the caveat to that is, I just said, his people. They're not going, Yahweh's not going to stop them hurting and harming folks that are not his people. And that's happening right now. Who's out there taking the pharmaceutical drugs? Who's out there going to the hospitals and having their bodies experimented on? All right? So Yahweh's people are going the opposite way, and I've met lots of them. They're looking to get out on small farms. They want to get back to growing their own food. They want to put the cell phones down. They want to get away from FaceTime in front of these flat screens, whether it's a phone, a tablet, or a computer. They want to get back to living the way Yahweh intended us to live. That's his children.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're going to have a difficult time spying on people living the old-fashioned way.
But
they're going to continue to rape, rob, poison, pollute, and manipulate and mentally castrate the sheep who are not within Yahweh's protective grace.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's your, if you don't mind me asking, these new Epstein revelations, I notice a lot of people are starting to, after the big QAnon letdown and the Trump letdown, quite frankly, I've sensed that a lot of people are starting to think that, maybe this was all legit again. Even one of my good friends, your friend as well, Mike King, he sent me something today. It was today or yesterday, where he's, it seemed, and I like Mike a lot. I think Mike's a great guy, and I know you do too. And he's right about just about everything. I agree with him on so much. But he seems to be insinuating with this link that he sent me that Trump could be trusted here, and Sessions and this, you know, around this Epstein thing. It's all around this Epstein thing. Even QAnon. He even sent me a big link to these QAnon dumps, and I'm like, wow, I never heard that from Mike before. But, you know, and I respect Mike a hell of a lot. I mean, but I'm not going to fall for that trap again.
There are people that are hijacking people's names and sometimes their email address, but definitely their names. And if you look at the email address at the header of your email, a lot of times it'll be a name that, of somebody you know, but the email address will be something completely strange. So when somebody's completely out of character like that, the very first thing I do is check the header and see if somebody didn't hijack the name. And
in this case, I don't think that's the case, because it linked back to his tomatobubble.com website, and that's where the most of the material and the
so
links
you're
were
saying,
right out.
So you're saying Mike King is saying that Q is legit?
I don't want to put words in his mouth, and especially if he might be listening to it, because he might be. You never know. But I'm going to go through it again. And the whole thing was emphasizing that it was all about the Epstein revelation, and positive things were saying. Well, he was even like insinuating that Sessions actually is going to turn out to be legit the whole time, and that's what he's been working. He's been working on this Epstein thing, and boy, that was, I actually responded back to him. I don't know if he got the reply, but I said, boy, I'm really surprised, Mike, but, I don't go for it. I'm not going to fall for it again, that's all. It would be nice, but it's just theater to me.
Yeah, because Q told us that Dirtbag Dershowitz was a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right.
So Dirtbag Dershowitz has been an enemy to the patriotic American as long as he's sucked air. So how in the hell could he all of a sudden be a patriot? That's literally impossible.
I think the Dirtbag Dershowitz reference is as clear-cut as it can get. If you don't know that he's a dirtbag and always has been, then you're not legit.
Right.
No, I mean, come on. So anyway, Mike, you're a good guy for listening. You're a hell of a guy. You're right, you know, nobody's right 100% of the time, and we all disagree on some things, but on this one I'm going to have to just toss it aside. I'm not going to get into that again, because we all got taken for a little bit of a ride with that whole phenomenon. And it took our eyes off of what they should have been on, I think.
Well, here's what we have to remember. And Epstein, they had Epstein the last time. And what happened? Nothing. So just the fact that they're throwing him into the limelight again doesn't mean a damn thing. It could be another diversion, and absolutely nothing's going to happen. But we got to look back 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, when Trump was running, okay? Remember, veterans and motorcycle guys, motorcycle clubs, of which I'm a member of an American Legion club, a lot of motorcycle clubs made up of former police and former military, were riding out to make sure Trump's rallies were not upset by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, things like that. Okay, those were all indications that this country was on the brink of civil war. Okay?
Right.
Now, along comes Trump saying the right things, talking about nationalism, talking about the fact that the swamp has taken over Washington, it no longer represents us. Oh, well, that's no great revelation, okay? Some of us have been saying that for 30 years. And other people have been saying it even longer. Smedley Butler and Douglas MacArthur and General Patton. Many people were saying that, and General Ben Pardon were all saying that there's been a communist insurgency in America for a long time. Okay, so this was nothing new, but Trump comes along telling us what we wanted to hear. And if think about this. If you were the enemy of white nationalist Christian America, what better thing to do than send out a white knight called Trump, who's actually a Zionist in disguise, and you've got the witch from Wally World, Hillary, over there, who's obviously a criminal, a pervert, and a traitor. Everybody that knows anything knows that. So if she's running, anybody that even remotely looks clean is going to be the shoe-in for the patriotic American. And so what better way to get us to fall in love with Trump than to do what they did? Okay,
yeah, right.
And then you take your control of the media and you just completely lambast Trump, which does what? It makes all of the patriotic Americans love Trump even more because your enemy, the Jewish-controlled media, hates him.
That script, I think that whole script was written well before the election. It played out well, too. It did had the desired effect completely because it made us all passive, almost docile.
We put our guns down again.
Exactly.
Put our guns down again because, remember, the Tea Party, we had 2 million of us in Washington, D.C. in 2009. That was 1 year into the traitor Obama's administration. Okay?
Yep.
So within 1 year of that piece of dog meat, Obama the traitor, in office, only 1 year, we had 2 million showed up in a massive demonstration in Washington and another 7 million throughout the other major cities of America. So that was 9 million Americans in the streets in 2009. Do you think the enemy was aware that something was up?
That's your ass.
Okay, so they put in a plan that they got to do something because the white people are on the verge of revolting, because almost every one of these rallies, it was 98% white people. And they had to do something to make the white people go back to sitting in their living rooms, believing they have a savior somewhere, and put those rifles back in the rack so that you're not going to go to war. So here comes the white knight, all the stories about the white hats in the Pentagon, all the stories about Q, but here we are 3 years later, and let me ask you, Henry, what has actually changed in 3 years? What has actually changed other than the rhetoric, the speeches, and the things like Q? As far as day-to-day life for the average white Christian American, what has really changed?
Not a thing. If anything, it's gotten worse. And I believe immigration levels are way higher than they were before he was elected.
And didn't Trump even say we need more immigration?
Oh, yeah, he said that after he was elected, I believe, right?
Yeah.
More legal. Well, we've got to clarify that. More legal immigrants. Of course, he likes to put that legal word in front of him.
It doesn't matter. Immigration needs to be ended, period.
All immigration, legal
all immigration.
Exactly.
Okay. So here we go. The white knight says, I want more immigration. We'll call it legal, but what the hell's the difference? We still don't have jobs for white people, but you're going to bring in more immigrants? Okay. He also said, let's get the guns and then we'll deal with the process later. Okay. Was Trump that said that. Okay? It's Trump that says he loves being Jewish and we need to do everything to support Israel. Wasn't that Trump that said that?
Oh, yeah. I've actually heard another rumor. I don't know if you've heard this, that he has already converted to Judaism. He's going to announce it at a later date. I don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Wait a minute. How did our Messiah tell us to judge people?
By the fruits.
All right. Does it matter if he calls himself a Jew or not, if his fruits show him to be a Zionist?
That's true.
Okay. Doesn't he wear a yarmulke and pray at the wall?
Yes, he does. And
doesn't
his daughter
pay homage to the Jew?
Right. So for all intent and purposes, he is a Jew, whether he officially converted or not.
That's right. It doesn't matter if he, quote, officially converted. He is supporting Satan's kids.
That's right.
To the detriment of white Christian America.
Yep.
But you see, they were masterful on how they got us to think Trump is going to be our white savior. He's going to be the white man's savior in a country that's being flooded with non-whites, flooded with diseased people, flooded with people that come here with no other intention other than to suck off the welfare system and to live fat on their ass, and yet he thinks we need more immigration? So somebody needs to explain to me how he's my white knight. Explain to me how he's the white knight.
Well,
and where the hell is the white hats? Where the hell is these so-called white hats in the military? Where are they?
Missing in action. I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. The military has the right to arrest the president of the United States. Did you know that?
Right.
They have the right to arrest the president of the United States. That's why Harry Truman ran off to a retreat when Douglas MacArthur came home, because Douglas MacArthur could have had him arrested.
That would have been good, because he deserved
That's right. Harry Truman was a kike too. He's another crypto kike. All right.
Yep. So, like Eisenhower.
Exactly. So Douglas MacArthur was a good old white boy, and he understood what was going on. Why in the hell he didn't follow through, maybe he didn't have enough courage. Why we talk today about be courageous. Maybe he didn't have enough courage. I don't know. But the point of it is, Douglas MacArthur knew that there was an insurgency going on, and Douglas MacArthur could have come back to the States and arrested the president.
Yep.
So, if we have white hats in the military, then where the hell are they? Why have they not performed the military coup and arrested every one of these bastards in Washington and put them in irons and put them behind bars for trial?
You think during Obama's reign, the depletion of all the good generals in the military was pretty complete. Not complete, but I mean pretty devastating. I don't know how much of a factor that is into what you're talking about.
Well, it's a huge factor. So where are those good generals now? Have they been brought back into service?
Right. Just because they're not officially still in the military, what are they doing? Yeah, right. I don't know. It's a good question, and it would be nice to see something.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about this for almost a decade now. There has to be a military coup. Now, everybody says that there's white hats here. I don't think the people they're calling white hats exist. I believe that those generals are still meeting with each other. I don't know when and if they're ever going to make a move. I pray they are. But they're the only hope this country has left, because this regime under Trump is not going to change a damn thing. Anybody that knows anything about how the Bolsheviks work, he's following lockstep in line with the Bolshevik takeover of this country.
Yeah, and it's looking more and more like he's a shoo-in for 2020. I remember when in 2016 I was thinking, oh, at least we got 4 years. You know, when we were all on board with Trump, I was thinking, oh, this buys us 4 years. And now I can't stand the sight of him, and now it looks like most assuredly he's a shoo-in for 2020. And beyond. Who the freak knows?
Why would they want to take the guy out that everybody idolizes and has made a false god?
Right. Everybody
knows the Democrats are outright Bolsheviks. Everybody knows that. Okay? They know that if there's still enough white Americans that can think and are still patriotic, they're never going to allow a Democrat to come into office. We'll go right into civil war. Okay?
Right.
So you're right. So either the Democrat gets elected, or we should say selected, not elected, selected. Okay? And then that will start the civil war. Or we get this so-called savior called Trump, who's got another 4 years to further entrench the Zionists in their takeover of the world.
Yeah, okay. You know, when you put it like that, I think I'd rather have him dethroned in 2020 and bring it on. Let's get this thing started.
Yeah, right? I'm not getting any younger.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I can still shoulder a rifle. I can still wield a knife. I can't run as fast as the young guys. I can't carry quite as much gear as the young guys can. But I can still be the rear guard or defend a town or drive trucks. Guys like you and me, we can still do that. We can operate radios. We can hand out ammunition or bandages. We can carry water. We can carry food. There's a lot of things we can do. And I told military people that I talked to 10 years ago that when this discussion came up about a military coup, I said, you guys have to do it. America's gone if the military doesn't step in. It's gone. Trump and everything in Washington, D.C. is a complete mirage. Okay, we have to wake up to that. It's a complete mirage. Whether it's Epstein, think about this. Every time they want to divert your attention, they throw another bad guy out there. They've known Epstein is a pedophile and a pervert. They've known he's working with the Mossad. He's a freaking kike, for crying out loud. Okay? So, same thing with Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood. They know they're perverts. They know they've committed crimes that deserve death. But they're still walking.
It could be just another diversion while something bigger and nastier is going on behind the scenes.
Well, the good news, our Father in Heaven is laughing his ass off at him because they think they're going to pull this over on his children, and it's going to backfire on him. It's going to backfire on him, okay? But the point of it is we still have to tell the truth and wake up as many people as we can because we care about our brothers and sisters, and we don't want any of them to be fooled and to perish along with the rest of the fools that are going to go along with this new world order. I mean, Trump has already come out and said he's all for 5G and even 6G. Hell, nobody's even been talking about 6G until he said that.
That might be the ultimate. That might be the ultimate thing. The 5G to me is. I mean, that is New World Order written all over it. I mean, my God.
Well, you know why they have to have 5G, right?
Well, digitalize the currency, right?
No, that's not why. Just look what they're doing in China.
Oh, yeah.
Look what they're doing to the Chinese with the social credit score system.
That's exactly what they want here. Yeah. And you can do it with the 5G. They've got 5G.
You have to have the 5G to do it. Yep. You have to have that broadband connection for all that data to control that many millions of sheep. That's why they're testing it in China, because they have such a huge population. All right? So if they can get it to work in China, then they can get it to work in all of the white nations of the world. It's only the white man that they have to keep corralled. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately for our Chinese fellow mankind, Chinese over there, they're being the guinea pigs for this system. But I'm going to tell you, they're not worried about Chinese because they've never rebelled ever. The communists.
I was just going to say, the Chinese have never exhibited backbone. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. They don't give a damn about the Chinese. They're not worried about them fighting back. What they're worried about is the white man. And so they're testing everything out with the Chinese to implement it on you and me.
Yes. They know the white man because they remember 1930s Germany, the backlash. And they know it could happen again, even though it's less likely now because we've been so mudded out in this country. But
they've taken white men and made them cucks.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant.
That's the good news. That's the good news. Yeah. The remnant is still here. Yahweh is still good to his word. He can't go back on his word.
Yeah, I think the remnant tends to be, like you said earlier, the guys that, not all of them, of course, but a lot of the remnant of these folks that don't even get into the technology and stuff. They're just like, you know, old school in the ways, and they don't know how to locate those kinds. So that's why I think they still have a healthy fear for us.
If they didn't have a fear for us, they wouldn't have to go through all the shenanigans that they're going through.
Right.
They would just simply do it. Okay, we still have estimates put between 70 and 80 million armed men in this country, predominantly white men. But there's people of other races that know what's going on that would support the white man taking back his nation. All right, so that's a big army, 70 to 80 pissed off white guys with tons of weapons and ammunition. That's a significant army. Even with all of their high-tech bullshit, that's a significant army. And here's another thing. I want people to understand something. I worked in the military in the 1970s on very sophisticated electronic equipment, okay? It was the state-of-the-art stuff of the day. And I'm going to tell you something. Very few guys knew how to work on that stuff. Very few of us. And if the white man ever decides to stop supporting the New World Order, they're going to have a tough time keeping that stuff running. That's why they want artificial intelligence and robotics. Because when the white men finally figure it out and they stop supporting the New World Order, they're lost. So they're hoping that they can get artificial intelligence to keep their war machine going. That's what they're hoping. Yeah. And guess what's going to happen? It isn't going to work. It isn't going to work.
Because you know what? When our collective backs are back up against the wall, this isn't going to end peacefully for them. And it's not going to end peacefully for all these migrant invaders either.
Let me give you an example. And you're right. I agree with you. Let me give you another example. I worked in nuclear power, and about 25 years ago, or so, they got the brilliant idea that they would take the best technicians and have them write technical procedures on how to do what we did in the field. And Yahweh blessed me to have entered the nuclear power at the level of a technician and a journeyman, so I learned how to do everything on my own, the old-fashioned way. And as I got older and I had skills with computers and I'm a touch typist, I went into writing procedures. And they wanted me to take that expertise and put it on paper. Now, here's the idea. The idea is I'm not trustworthy, okay? I might ask for too much money, or I might go work for another company, or I might tell the bosses that they're full of crap and not do what they do. So I'm supposed to write, everything we did in the plant was supposed to be covered by a, quote, procedure, which means a paper document that tells you every step of the way on how to do everything we did. And let me tell you, we worked on a lot of stuff, okay? After I left the industry, after 25 years of writing procedures, do you know how many qualified guys in the field could run those procedures correctly? Almost none. Almost none. So their whole idea to get rid of the white guys that know what they're doing, who know how to do things instinctively or the old-fashioned way and be able to think on their feet, and go get prints out of the library and open up tech manuals and figure things out. The newer generation can't do that. Most of them can't do that. And that's what it takes to fix things, okay? And they're praying that procedures and artificial intelligence will replace the white guy, but I got news for you. It doesn't work. When you send a female or a minority or white trash into a highly technical environment with a piece of paper, a procedure that's 80 or 90 pages long, and you tell them to go out there and work on this equipment, It doesn't matter how well you wrote that procedure, they're still going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? They're still not going to know the way us old-timers could know when things are wrong. Because a lot of times, you might go out to the field, and your instincts, because you know how the system works, your instincts tell you that that alarm should not be on, or that light over there should not be in the state it's in, and you better stop what you're doing and check it out, whereas the procedure wouldn't cover that, you see?
Yep.
And this whole New World Order scheme is built on the same kind of premise. They want to eliminate the white man, all right? Because the white man has intuitive ability, he's got common sense, he has a high IQ, he has a great work ethic, and he knows how to work as a team. And people tell me, well, no, the Orientals have higher IQ. Well, then why are the Orientals stealing our intellectual property just like the Jews are? Why is it the Japanese and the Chinese couldn't do all of the industrial things they're doing until they learned it from the white man, if they're so damn smart?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I'm not trying to put them down. I'm just saying, if it's true that the white man's not the smartest guy on earth, then why are all these other people emulating us and stealing our intellectual property?
It's absolutely true.
I'm just asking, why? Why do they have to steal it if they're so smart?
They wouldn't have to steal it.
That's right. That's the answer. There you go. They wouldn't
exactly.
have to steal it. And that includes the greatest thieves of all. These people called Jews, they are the greatest thieves of all. They steal industrial secrets, they steal military secrets, they steal State Department secrets. That's why they want all electronic communications runs through Israel. Did you know that? All electronic communications in the United States runs through Israel.
I was aware of that. Yes, I am.
Why do you think that is? So they can spy.
Oh, exactly. On everything and everybody.
That's exactly right. You know, Donald Trump doesn't use electronic media. He gets his orders from his bosses in Tel Aviv by courier.
Huh. Interesting.
Okay, because he knows if there are good guys out there, they have access to the same electronics that the enemy does. And so he knows he doesn't want them to know. So that's why I say, everybody, you know, they want us to think Trump is the white knight and the people around him are these good guys, but it could be just as easy that they're part of the plan to overthrow us and put us under a new world order.
Yeah.
How would you know?
Right. I think all signs point to the fact that he is not the white knight. The chances of him actually being the white knight that we thought he was maybe 18 to 20 months ago are so slim right now based on everything that's transpired in the last, I would say, 8 to 10 months that I consider myself too smart to fall for that again. I've been paying attention to what's been going on, and I've been watching it, and fool me once, you know, shame on me. Fool me twice. Oh, I don't know if I got that right, but you know what I mean. Not going to fall for that again.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
There you go. Yep. So.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Just like they hold up these other people falsely as being such great people, and we're told Trump is so smart and so great, and yet, listen to some of the things he said. If he's a red, white, and blue, red-blooded, patriotic American, why would he ever say, grab the guns first and we'll do the due process later? Why would he say, I'm gonna push 5G and then 6G as fast as I can when his own buddies over in Itzalai have outlawed it, and even on his own property in Florida, it's been outlawed as well. It won't be installed.
Yep.
Why? Why would he do that?
Because he knows the masses in general don't pay attention to this stuff and he can get away with it.
Why would he have a daughter married to a Mossad agent if he's a red-blooded American?
Yep.
Why would he be proud of having half-breed bastard children to a Jew? Why would he be proud of that?
You see the power he seems to be giving his daughter? She's got a new name. It's not Ivanka anymore. It's a Jewish name, but she's getting in there now. I mean, they just recently passed something that said whenever they, I'm just paraphrasing here and just going off the cuff, but whenever multiple countries are negotiating terms of peace settlements or potential war, anything that has to do with conflict, potential conflict or actual conflict or some kind of peace negotiations, there's some new legislation that requires there to be a feminine presence, a certain percentage. And ever since that has passed, she's been in every one of these meetings. It's just insane. It's almost like he's grooming her to take over for him. Would that be something? Oh, God.
Well, I'll say it again. When are the white men in America going to say enough is enough? That's what I'm waiting for. There's nobody in Washington going to fix our problems. They created our problems. When are the warriors, and I'm talking about the white men and the other races that want to help us, that's fine, but just like the German National Socialists said, our men are going to be in charge of this operation from get-go. That's it. Just our guys are in charge. Okay, when are the white men, if there are any of those kind of guys left, when are they going to say enough is enough? When are the warriors going to say enough treason out of Washington? When are they going to say enough dying for these bastard Jews in these foreign wars? Smedley Butler warned us. General Patton warned us. General MacArthur warned us. General Parton warned us. These are military men. How many military men were suicided because of their patriotism? When are the rest of the military men going to wake up? You're fighting for the wrong people.
We are such a cocked out society. I don't know. It's hard to be optimistic that's going to happen without Yahweh intervening.
He is intervening. Ezekiel told us. He said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit, and I'm going to awaken that valley full of dead and dry bones." That's the white man.
And I think that's what I meant to say. What I meant to say is, without his intervening, which I think I agree with you, perhaps that is happening right now behind the scene. It has to be. Just because we don't see it, that's not clear, totally evident to everybody right now. I do believe that it is happening, and that has to be how it's going to take place. I think it's got to go down soon.
We have to have supernatural help because we're super stupid. The white man is super cucked and super stupid.
Yeah, brainwashed, cucked, you name it. And it's been generations. Go ahead.
It's going to take an act of our Father to save our ass, which is exactly what the book says is going to happen.
Right. Obadiah 18, Ezekiel 38, 39. Yep.
37, 38, and 39. Ezekiel 25, verse 14. Okay. Because our people are pathetic, unfortunately. And it's
really
going to
are.
Take the Father, because you got to remember, we like to think that we're special, but we're only special because of Him. Okay?
Right.
We didn't create this world. We didn't give ourselves life. We didn't invent the Holy Spirit. We didn't invent the morality. We didn't invent the laws of nature. We didn't have anything to do with it. It's all about Him. That's why He said, when all of this comes down, he and He alone is going to get the credit. Not you or me. You, me, and the rest of our race, we don't deserve the credit.
Nope.
He gets the credit.
all the credit should go to him. Once he's, I think once Yahweh decides that we've been punished enough, I think the script is going to flip. We have been punished for...
Yeah, it is going to flip. Remember, he said, if I didn't come back when I did, there'd be no flesh saved. Because these New World Order freaks are destroying this earth.
Absolutely.
They're destroying it.
It's hard to watch.
If it goes unabated the way it's going now, there will literally be no real food left. There'll be no more heirloom seeds. There'll be no non-hybrid seeds. Okay? There'll be no animals that are purebred anymore. They will have bastardized everything, not just mankind, but the same thing with the animal kingdom. There'll be nothing healthy.
He's waiting for the... We don't understand his timing, of course. To us, it seems like how much more can this world tolerate? We have to be very close, though, because, like you said, a few more years of this, and what's going to be left? The air, the food, the water. It's just
they're taking your children. You're not allowed to have anything to say about how to raise your children anymore. Which goes right along with the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. Okay, they're literally taking the child from the mother's breast and giving them a social security number, circumcising the boys, taking their footprints and fingerprints, and making them one of the clones for the Matrix. As soon as they're born.
Yep. Sick.
And then you don't have any say on their education, what standards, what jobs, vaccinations. They want to take away your right to decide on vaccinating. So what's left?
Yeah, my son has 3 preschool kids. I don't even know what to say to him anymore. Other than the vaccinations, he says he's going to homeschool them. I hope he does.
Well, the homeschooling movement is growing again. Thank the Father for that. A lot of urbanites are moving and getting land in the country. I'm hearing from some of my inner circle people all over the United States. They're saying that they talk to the real estate people and people are moving out of the urban areas, and they are one of two things. They're moving out completely, or they're buying 10 to 15 acre farmettes as bug out places so that when shit hits the fan, they're going to leave the urban areas and run to their farms out in the Ozarks or out in Missouri or Texas or Florida, whatever. They're buying farmettes. They're also buying them because they realize that real food is getting harder and harder to find.
Yep. Oh, well, man, I don't know.
Well, the deception, we were told that the deception at the end of the age would be so great that even his elect would be deceived if that were possible. And we all know that it's not possible. That's why we're here talking tonight. You know people that are not deceived. I know people. And, you know, here's the good news. You watch these different videos that are, and a lot of people are going to other platforms outside of YouTube, which is another good thing that's happening. And there's more and more platforms coming around all the time. BitChute, I happen to like BitChute and Vimeo, and there's a couple other ones. But you watch this, what the alternative media, that's you and me, the average people are becoming the alternative truth movement and the alternative media. You watch what people are putting up, and you look at the numbers of people that watch and make comments, okay? I've been keeping track of that for about 2 years now. The numbers have been steadily increasing. Even with their algorithms and their control, they still are showing a tenfold increase in the number of people with a positive comment to make about nationalism, racial identity, outing the Jew. And so the enemy knows this. That's why they're putting out so much of this propaganda. That's why they want traitors like DeSantis and Trump to push legislation that protects these Jews. Because the world is waking up to these people and their criminality. Okay? And tons of comments by just regular people that are waking up to the education system and the failure that it is, and the failure of the courts, and the failure of the Washington, D.C. and the foreign policy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're aware of that. Oh, yeah. We should be aware of it, too.
Yeah, I've noticed the same trend. I see. I read the comments, just like you. Some real insightful people are commenting on these videos too. So yeah, there is a strong. I'd say it's a pretty strong remnant at this point. People are. There seems to be a definitive awakening taking place right now that wasn't evident 3-4 years ago. I would say.
That's right. That's a sign of the times. We got another caller from Texas, Henry.
Okay.
Do you want to stay on?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Well, you'll be temporarily unmuted, and then I'll bring you back on, okay?
Oh, cool.
Midland, Texas, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Dan. This is Curtis. I'm at work, and I just wanted to get my input.
Oh, excellent. Hi, Curtis. How you doing?
I'm calling from my cell phone, and I'm in my truck at work. And I like my input today is that I feel that once the military is weakened and destroyed, we're finished. Like you said, you're right, because it takes these Antifa people and freaks or stalkers or whatever they are, there's no way to spank them and send them home. There's got to be some law and order and some strings to take care of them, and there's got to be men to do it. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Dan?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when things fall apart and the men rise up, which is what I think is going to happen next, it's not going to be hard to take care of this immigration problem, because, number one, you got to take away the freebies. As soon as you take away the freebies, a lot of them are going to go away. And once you start punishing them for the crimes that they commit, so if they commit rape, you hang them. If they murder, you hang them. Once that starts, they're going to flee to get back to where they came from.
And you know, Pastor Dan, I like to bring this scenario up that might bring help the conference call better to give my input. But once people are afraid, they don't make good decisions. And the system has put a lot of fear into the white man, that they just devour each other out of fear, sort of like Lord of the Flies. And they go crazy on the island until that British officer came and brought order. They just kept doing it. They just kept going wild. So I feel that a good way of looking at it is that we need Yahweh and the Word of God to be calm and to deal with our fears and have that guidance, Christian guidance. Because without it, we turn our backs on our Jesus or on our Yahweh. You know, it's going to be hard on us too. A sense of calm, a sense of reason. And not reacting, but to respond, but to not react, but to respond to our fears. And I think they're having a field day putting out crazy information, and they're having us when we're these, well, I guess trash. They're giving power to these trashy people, and these trashy people are wanting to hold on to their power, and they don't have the humility to back off.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, you're right, and it's interesting that you're bringing this up with our topic tonight being Be Courageous, and the fact that you lead by example. And we're part of his elect, Curtis, and Henry should be still on too. We are part of his elect, and I'm not saying that to blow my own horn. I'm saying it because, and I'm being honest, anybody out here can tell me if I'm wrong. But take a look around. Where do you see more rational thought and leadership? Where do you see it more than the people that know this message and that come into our conference calls and within our circles? Where do you see more maturity, understanding, biblical knowledge, and leadership than amongst our own people?
Nowhere.
Do you see it anywhere, Curtis?
I don't see it anywhere. I don't see any other religion but the one true Yahweh. There is no other way. The straight way. That's it.
Amen. Amen. So we are his elect, okay? We fit the definition, whether people understand what that means or not. If you look up what the Bible says about his elect, that's us, okay? And yeah, we're doing his job right here tonight. You guys, me, this network, the people that get involved, the people that share this call, we're doing that job. We are presenting the truth. We are presenting rational thought. We are dissecting what's going on. We remain calm. We're not being radical. We're not calling for mindless retribution or action. We are confident that we are in his loving arms as his family members, and that we are part of his righteous Ezekiel 37 army that's going to rise up in the near future, and at that time we're going to be allowed to kick the ass on the new world order.
Yeah, I think if I could interject, I think we are the people that you're speaking of, the people that are listening, your audience. I think that we are the people that Yahweh knows are just awaiting that call. And he knows that we can be relied on. And when that happens, and when that call takes place, that's when it's like when you're a little kid and you're going to school and there's a bully. It only takes one kid to stand up to the bully, and then all of a sudden everyone else will follow him, and everyone else gets like a certain amount of bravery that they didn't have before, yes, just because they see an example of one ready to stand up. So when Yahweh gives that call to his remnant, and we make ourselves, and we are making ourselves known through this, the airwaves like they're talking about, but there's going to come a point in time where it's going to become an actual, you know, physical thing too. And
absolutely.
I think
yep, absolutely.
And when that happens, yeah, and like I said, the example of when one person stands up to the big bully, all of a sudden, a lot of people are willing to follow that person. And that is probably how it's going to play out.
And that's exactly why we should be courageous right now. Because in human terms, if you weren't in the Father's good graces, if you weren't part of his elect, you would be part of this crowd out here that is faint of heart, and they're biting their nails every night with all this insanity going on. Our people aren't.
Nope.
Our people aren't doing that. One of our listeners just sent in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love of who? Father Yahweh. Perfect love of each other as members of our family, to the point where we're willing to die for each other. That's perfect love.
Right. Our brothers.
And it casts out fear. It casts out fear. Go ahead, Curtis. I think you were going to say something.
You know, I think the ability to stand up to the bully syndrome is an excellent example. Is that the system wants us divided and scared of each other. They want us to feel inferior and not talk with each other. But we get together, we watch what each other does, we talk, we communicate, we show love, we give our lives for each other. But when that happens, the system, perhaps the system will go asleep and stop trying to divide us and scare us from each other. But I think that there are a lot of people are afraid of each other. Like the immigration policy, it's very hard for somebody from Europe to become a citizen of the United States and the United States or of Europe or, you know, any of our racial kinsmen overseas. And it's not just the immigration coming in, but they tighten up on immigration. They'll just warp it so we can't meet each other and be close to each other either. So they got us scared of each other and divided from each other. We're just afraid to talk to each other and think this stuff out.
Yeah, so much political correct bullshit going on. But, he's absolutely right. And that's what this flood is all about. It's meant to discourage us.
Yeah, exactly right. They want us to think that there's no way we can win. And that's when we show our courage in the fact that, no, you can do whatever you want. We plan on winning. And we're going to win.
We'll win.
We are going
that's
to
what
win.
The book says it.
That's right. Yep. That's what we're here for. I don't believe it's an accident that Curtis is here talking or that Henry, you're here talking or that the listeners are out there listening and contributing. That's not by accident. Father's bringing a remnant together right now. All of us that are networking with each other and sharing information and lifting each other up, that's called discipleship. That's exactly what we were called to do. Disciple one another. That's what the word in the Greek language means. We lift each other up. We are family. When one of us falls, we extend a hand and we pick them up. It's why probably Father Yahweh put me through football training from 7th grade to a year in college. I played football. And I played baseball in grade school, little league, high school, and summer league. That's a lot of baseball. So a lot of team sports so that I could see what happens when the team players have the right attitude. What's that? Okay, there was a bunch of noise. I don't know if that was somebody's phone.
It was me. I opened up my window on my truck.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Wait, breath, Pastor Dan. I'm going to go get back to work. I'm on the clock.
Oh.
Hey, take it.
Yeah, take care, Curtis. Yahweh bless, buddy.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, right. I recall Curtis from before.
Yeah, yeah. Curtis has been a part of our crew for quite some time. And here again, we don't have huge numbers, but what I like to say is we got the cream of the crop. Okay.
No.
We have some of the best people that I've ever met in my entire life. And I've traveled quite a bit. I've been teaching this message for a long time. I've rubbed elbows with some of the people that you read about now, folks like Wickstrom and Christ and Eli James and different people like that. Over the years, I've rubbed elbows with all these different people. And some of them proved to be fake. Some of them proved to be good guys. Some of them fell from grace. But the thing that I've always been impressed with is, since this radio show started, that the best of the best withstood the test of time. They stayed the course, okay? A lot of people profess themselves. There was a guy named Don Campbell years ago before he died. And every time he would come to a meeting, he was the loudest thing in the room. He wanted everybody to know when he showed up. Okay? What that told me to stay as far away from him as I could get, because his ego was so big that he thought he was the hottest thing to this message, and he wanted everybody to know when he got there. Well, those are the seeds that fall on stony ground and they don't produce much fruit. Okay?
Yeah.
People with big egos aren't going to produce much fruit.
Yeah.
It's the ones that stay the course and get roots that go down deep. They're the ones that are going to turn into the redwood forest.
Yep. I've learned that I've gotten to the point, and you know me, You're actually the person who introduced me to Identity. So, and I've always thanked you for that. And I guess it's been a few years now. I've spent some time with some of these people, you know, reading some of the material. But a few of the names that you just mentioned, had a conversation with you through email a few weeks ago about this website, Christogenia, that I've been spending a lot of time reading. I can't even think of his name right now.
Fink.
What's his name? Fink. And here's what I say. When I listen to so many of his broadcasts, and I've read a whole lot of his work. I just started one day. I remember when I first met you. You introduced me to this. You sent me links to 15 or 20 different websites and different materials that could give me insight and more education, because I was green as anything. And I don't even know if he was on the list. I can't even remember. That was so long ago. But in any case, I found my way to Christogenia, and I found his work very interesting, to say the least. I find that he is extremely educated. Whatever you think of the guy, he seems to put the work in. And I listened to so much of his work and read so much of his stuff so many hours before I found out this one thing about him that just totally blew my mind, and I think you know where I'm going. I don't even know if I need to mention it, but it's like I don't even know what you would call it, that doctrine of being born white automatically ensures you that you're going to live eternally with Yahweh. I just find that so, when I think of some of the scummiest people on the planet Earth who happen to be white, I mean, we've already talked about several of them tonight. I mean, how on earth, I don't know, but when I, the first time I heard him insinuate that, his recordings are such that you can't flip it back and make it replay. You can't, if you do that, you go all the way back to the beginning. So I heard it, and I said, geez, did I hear what I just thought I heard? And then I heard it again the second time and confirmed it, and then I just said, wow, that's really, I don't agree with that. I know that's not backed up by Scripture. But I said to myself, I'm just going to take what I can get good out of this guy, and the stuff that I disagree with, I'm just going to, and move along, because everybody has different philosophies, I guess, whatever, but he's right on a lot of stuff. I totally disagree with him on that, but I'm not going to throw away a lot of the good work that he has done, and I have learned a lot from him, but that is just one crazy, crazy idea, in my opinion. I think you agree, don't you?
I think it's dangerous. I think it's just as dangerous as the people that believe in the rapture. All right? What does the rapture theory do? It makes our people cucks. They're going to sit around. They're not going to get involved because, oh, we're going to get raptured out of here. Well, if you're preaching a doctrine that says, all I got to do is be white and I've got it made, pretty much does the same thing, doesn't it?
I was just blown away. And then I was listening to, it was some broadcast he had. He had like a co-host, and he would do most of the talking, and the co-host would, throw a few thoughts here and there and interject once in a while. And then at the end of the show, this particular broadcast that he did, they decided to hone in on this particular thing that we're talking about now. And so I was fascinated to listen to what they were saying. And here's what I recall him saying, like the guy would say, Fink himself said at one point, so even like a pedophile, you got to think that something happened to him early in his life, and there's a reason why, and Yahweh's going to accept it. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? Wow. Wow, it just, wow. I don't want to belabor this point. It's just, I found that there's so much division. There's so much division in identity. It's just, what are you going to do? But I've gotten to the point now where, you know, if this was 3 years ago and I was just starting out, I could be swayed very easily one direction or the other. Probably, I don't know. But I know now I'm standing on pretty firm ground, and I know how to take what's good and then take what's bad and throw it away. And that's what I do. So
right.
And that's what we all.
Yeah, the New Testament talks about that. Take in everything and keep that which is good, which is just the way
right.
of saying to keep an open mind. But it also tells us to test the spirits. And
yeah.
And here again, we go back to what's common sense say. Okay, common sense says that our Father is truth. Everything about him is truth. And truth works. Lies don't. So, and our earthly families are built on the model of our Heavenly Father and us. That's why we call him a Father. He gives us life, like our father and mother do here on earth. He gives us life, physical life. He gives us spiritual life, and he is our commander. He is our ruler and our king. All right. On earth, that's the job of the husband, the head of the household, okay? He is to be the overseer of the wives and the children, okay? Same thing. Now, let me ask you. On earth, as a heavenly or as a head of a household, let's say you have five wives and you've got 25 children. Would you accept those 25 children coming up to you when it's time for an inheritance be given out or some other blessing? Let's say you just sold off about 60 head of cattle and you just had a windfall of $200,000. So here come your 25 children, and each of them wants a share of that $200,000. Okay, would you just give it to them because they're your children? Or would you judge them by their fruits, because some of them are lazy and they don't do anything to help out around the house. They don't do anything to help out with the cattle. Okay?
Yep.
Some of them are disrespectful and argumentative. Some of them are race traitors. Some of them are murderers. And they're going to walk up to you and say, but I'm part of your DNA, so I get a reward too.
That's a great analogy to Fink.
Well, okay, yeah, but what's the answer? The answer, obviously, is no.
You would
be crazy to reward bad behavior.
Exactly. So why would Yahweh?
Exactly. Yahweh doesn't. That's the answer. And anybody that says that just being white or committing any kind of crime doesn't matter because you're the right DNA, those people that were in the area around Noah, there were a lot of them that had the same DNA as Noah did, but they didn't get on the boat.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
He said it was just like the days of Noah. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Let's just be logical about this. Okay, let's say you're a Fink follower, and over here you're on the other side of the fence. Okay, what does Occam's razor say, and what does common sense say? You take the side that's the most conservative, all right? So if I don't have 1,000% proof of these two different theories, I'd better stick to the one that's the most conservative, which says my Father in heaven is going to judge my behavior. I'd better do my job and behave as good as I can. I better try to follow his law as best I can.
Yeah.
Isn't that the smart thing to do, rather than, well, I'm white, so I don't it doesn't matter what I say, who I hurt, who I rob, what child I rape. Does that even make sense?
I mean, I can just, you know, I hate to say it, but I can just imagine how many people he's led down the wrong path by just thinking simply because they have the right DNA or the right skin color that they can do what the hell they want and live any way they want. They're going to be in for a rude awakening when they meet their master.
Yeah, but here is the issue with that. Only weak people will believe silliness
true.
Like that.
That's
all right?
True. That's,
Anybody that has a calling of the Father upon them to where he communicates with them through the Holy Spirit is going to see through that nonsense easily.
You know, that's what kind of amazes me, because he seems so well researched historically and biblically. Is that his shtick, that he's just trying to be unique? I can't understand it, because if I would just drop that aspect of it, he would, to me, he'd be a very reputable person. But once I found that out, it's just like I find it difficult to even, you know, go to his site now, read anything, or listen to him anymore. I just can't get that out of my head. It's just so nonsensical. So I'm just trying to understand what the hell his reasoning is, because he seems like a pretty smart guy. Is he just trying to be?
Yeah, there's no doubt about the fact that he's got a decent IQ and he does a lot of research. I've read some of his material that I thought was excellent, but that doesn't mean that he's right about everything either.
No, that's true. That's true, too.
Okay, look at Eli. Eli puts out a lot of material that's really very well written, but he also predicted that the end of the age would be in 2012. Well, that didn't happen. Okay, he's also promoting the mutilation of children. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Father
allows for a patriarchal family system, which means certain men are allowed to bring more than one woman into their household. That's Yahweh instituted that. Man didn't.
Yep.
And yet they say that you can't do it. Based on what?
Right.
And what are you going to do when the day comes that the verse, I don't have the verse in front of me, the verse that talks about in that day, it's talking about a day of calamity. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man and say, please take away our reproach. What do people think that's talking about? What about the law that says if your brother dies without a child to be an heir, it's a law that you take his wife and bring her into your household to give her children for in place of your brother.
Right. Oh.
Because family is more important than possession.
Yep.
The Satanists have got us thinking about possessing each other when Yahweh's law is all about children, family, and progeny.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a damn about this romantic, oh, I'm so in love with you. The whole world rotates around you. I can't live without you. Okay, that's Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's Hollywood bullshit. Yahweh is all about a family of people and creating lots and lots of children. That's why he said, may your quiver be full. That was a blessing thousands of years ago. May your quiver be full. That's saying lots of children. A quiver back in the biblical times held anywhere from 50 to 100 arrows. It was a basket.
Yeah.
And how many Jewish women do you know? How many women do you know, Henry, that can have 50 children?
None.
That's right. None.
Zero. But
to have 50 children, you have to be successful and have a large family. And again, it doesn't mean it's for everybody. It doesn't mean you have to do it. He didn't say you have to do it. He just said, I'm allowing it.
Yep.
Okay? And it's common sense, okay? It's common sense. Let me ask a question. Okay, you've got this group of Israelites who understand Yahweh's law and everything else. And let's just pick a number. There's 1,000 men and women. And out of that group, there's, let's say, 400 men and there's 600 women. Okay. What do the 200 women that outnumber the men do for a husband in today's way of looking at things? What do those 200 women that are perfectly healthy, capable of having bright, beautiful, healthy children, what do they do? Because the other 400 guys are gone, and it's one-on-one, because after all, that's what the romance novels in Jew Hollywood has told us. It's gaga land, and I just can't live without my baby, and I've got to lay down with her every night and kiss her ass and all this other horse manure. Okay, so what do these other 200 women do?
They have to go without.
Yeah, they go without. You know what they do instead, though? They go with the brown, the black, or the yellow. Or the Jew. Okay? So the people pushing that are forcing the women, because the women are still going to have the maternal instinct. Their instinct is going to say, I want to have a child. And those white guys are already taken, so I guess I'm going to have to settle for these guys over here. Now, here's another scenario. Of the 400 white guys, 100 of them are drunks. Another 100 of them are abusive and physically and verbally abusive men. So you're telling the ladies that, well, the good guys, the ones that behave themselves, are smart, are healthy, have good jobs, and good providers, they've got good DNA and good health. Okay, you can't have them because some other woman's already decided to keep them, so you're going to have to pick one of these losers over here. Does that make much sense to you, Henry?
Right.
I'm just asking. Does that make sense?
No.
Or do you think a system that says the best of the men can have as many of the wives as they want, do you think that might give the other men incentive to behave themselves if the wives don't have to pick the losers?
Exactly.
Do you think it might make men better warriors if they know they got to impress the women or they're not going to get any women?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
I think
just saying.
Yeah.
People work by incentive, and today's system, there's no incentive for the men to be men.
Right.
He took all of his incentive away, folks. You took all of his incentive away. Everything Yahweh put in this world to incentivize men to be the best men they can be, you took it all away from them, and you think you're doing a great thing. You fell into Satan's trap, and you didn't even know it. By watching... Yeah. Reading dime store novels about fake romance and watching these damn television movies and stuff like that. You fell for it. You took the men's incentive away. What makes the warriors of old days warriors? The very things I'm talking about.
Yep.
They got the most land. They got the most praise. They got the most of the best of the women because the women said, I want him to be the husband of my children. I want him to be the father of my children. I want him to be the role model. I don't want the drunk over there or the bum living in his mom's basement over there or the cuck over there with his hair up in a bun. I don't want that to be the father of my children.
Right. Yep. That's why they were warriors back then, because they
had
the
incentive. That's exactly right. And guess what, folks? A lot of those warriors never even got to have a child because they died on a battlefield. So everybody thinks that, well, the warriors just want to have... No, the warriors were willing to go out and fight and die for this system. And they may not even get to know a woman. They might not even get to have a child, even though the Bible says you're not supposed to send men out into battle until they do have a wife and a child. But sometimes you had to put every man in the field you could because an enemy was too large. So this whole idea that it's a man's world, it's a man's world, that he has to go out there, and sometimes he has to fight, and sometimes he has to die.
Yep.
Because he believes in this that much.
Right, and they weren't afraid to die, that's for sure.
No, they weren't. They were courageous. They weren't afraid of death. They were afraid of being a coward. They were afraid of being a disgrace to themselves and their family. That's what they were afraid of.
That's long, long ago.
Yeah,
it's been bred up, I think.
We need it. We need it back. There's a book that I'm reading called War and the Breed. It was recommended to me by a former Special Forces guy, and it was written back in the early 1900s, but it's a book talking about how war destroys the best of a race.
Mm.
And guess who foments wars for white men to die in?
Jews.
So where have the best of our white men gone?
Died in wars.
That's exactly right. And who are they killing?
White
each
men.
Each other. They're killing each other.
Brother against brother.
Do you think the Jew is down at the synagogue raising a toast at the stupidity of the white race?
Yes.
He sure as hell is.
Without a doubt. Yep. Wow. Yeah. Sickening when I think about it.
Yeah.
You want to do something nasty.
And here again, why? Because we walked away from our Father in his common sense law.
Mm. Yep. So right. You're a man of wisdom, Daniel. Well, that's why. That's what separates you from the others that we were just speaking of. You have that common sense about you, and you don't. I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad I can't even remember how I found out about you. I can't remember now. So long ago. Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. You had a guest. I can't remember his name now. Oh, God, he's... Oh, forget about it. But it doesn't matter. But anyway, I think I've been on longer than I thought I was going to be on. And I don't know if you want to keep going or what.
Well, you know, until we're... You know, I don't want to keep on going just to keep on going. But as long as we're making points and thrashing this stuff out, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what he told us to do. And if there's people out there that if they're learning and being edified by what we're talking about, then I got no problem. I'll talk for 6 hours. It don't bother me. But I just don't want to. I know people are busy too. You know, a lot of people, they see how long a presentation is, they don't even start it. You know, if it takes up an hour and a half, 2-3 hours. A lot of people, I don't have that much time. So,
right.
You know, that's why I try not to go too long. Huh?
They can turn it off. I always, I look forward to it. I always do. When I don't call in, I listen to it. Because I find it, we don't gather in churches anymore because we know what the churches are all about. So this is the only way we can edify each other and build each other up, and we need that. It's not direct, it's not, you know, face to face, but it's the next best thing, and for me it really helps quite a bit. I find this is church to me. This is kind of what it should have been anyway. This kind of talking instead of the pre-canned sermons or sermonettes, or the Jewish sermonettes, where we're taught to worship the Jew instead of Jesus. So I find these kind of conference calls just what I need, at least once a week, to keep me thinking right and make me realize and be conscious and aware that I have brothers out there who think just like I do. And that's very, very important in today's world, because you can get isolated and feel like you're the only one sometimes. And that's why these calls are so important to me. I imagine the rest of the people, most of the rest of the people that listen would have, would feel similarly to what I just expressed, because, is what it is, and it's keeps me going. I'm very happy that you do it. And when you were out for 6 weeks,
right?
It was tough. I was like, I didn't have much to do, because that's it's like to me it's like a high point in my week almost. I'm not I'm married and I have a wonderful relationship with my wife and everything, but I need this too. This is, I don't get to talk to men very often, and this is why it's important. Real men, not the cucks that I run into from time to time around here, but real men of God, and talking about the things that we talk about.
Yep.
Crucial.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
And men need to fellowship with men. And it's nothing against the ladies, but there's an element that's there when men deal with men that's not there when you deal with women. And most men I know understand this at the gut level.
Yeah.
Okay?
I think real men. Yeah.
Real men have to be around real men. Okay?
Yeah, unfortunately, physically, I'm almost never, I got to admit to you, I have certain circumstances that kind of come into play here, but I feel like this is almost as good, and it's a good enough a replacement for that, because I really don't have any friends that I can have these kind of, I just can't have these kind of discussions with anybody that I know. So I say, why not take advantage of the technology that allows us to do this? And as far as I'm concerned, we're sitting in the same room together right now, sitting across from each other at the same table.
Yeah, effectively we are.
Really?
Effectively yeah. I
didn't know what you look like, so I can even imagine, you know. So what the hell?
Well,
so they will do it on Zoom or Skype or something.
Well, I've already set up a Zoom account, so if anybody wants to do a face-to-face consultation, either just one-on-one or a small group, we can do video conferencing using Zoom, which is a free program, and I like it. I like it a lot better than Skype or any of the other ones I've used. So that's something new we've just started. All they got to do is contact me at my website, PastorDan.net. And we can set up a Zoom conference, and then we can see each other. And if anybody wants to know what I look like, it's on my website. Go watch one of my videos.
Yeah, that's how I know what you look like. I saw your videos from your website. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's there for that. And some people get something extra when they can look in the eyes or look at the person, and that's why I set up the Zoom account. It's not necessary. We can talk on the phone, or we can talk over conference calls. But
I feel like I know you so well that maybe that will happen in the future at some point for some particular reason. Who knows? But it doesn't matter to me. I mean, just talking like this, it's the same thing. It's just
whatever works.
We're connecting. So
whatever works.
Actually, hopefully we're connecting with other people out there in the stratosphere who are listening, and hopefully some words that either one of us have said tonight may have made some kind of an impact and some kind of a positive impact.
It has, because every show I get feedback from somebody that says either the topic was something they needed to hear or they felt just like one of the callers. And we edified them for that. And one of our listeners, a lady out in Texas, she's a regular listener. She says we're up to 92 people are listening right now. So, and you don't see that on the screen. She has a way to be able to tell the folks that are logged in without IDs, I guess. There's a way to listen without logging in with an ID. So we've got 92 listeners total, but we've only got 2, 4, 6 that show up on the screen here. So that's why our goal is to tell the truth and edify each other and not worry about numbers and not worry about who it goes out to. That's in the Father's hand. He said, just plant the seeds. I'll take care of making it come to fruition. You just do the deeds and plant the seeds, and that's what we're doing. And edify each other, which is something that,
And you can accomplish both simultaneously, too.
Exactly. Exactly right. And, that's the beauty. Instead of sitting down and trying to have a class, which is boring, and everybody has to sit still and listen to somebody drone on for an hour and a half or an hour-long class, man, there were a lot of days I could hardly keep my eyes open with that kind of stuff. This is not scripted. This is from the heart. This is going with the as the Spirit moves us, which is a completely different thing. And absolutely. Anybody has the right at any time to get up and go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, or say I'm done. I can't listen anymore. I'm going to listen later. You're not chained. You're not chained to a chair. You're not chained to a box. And that makes a difference. It should be fun. Learning should be fun. That's why I liked homeschooling. Homeschooling is easier than people think. A child naturally wants to learn. The only thing you have to do as his teacher is put material in front of the child. The child teaches themselves. You just keep putting material in front of them, and they'll learn. They'll learn. I saw it happen with my homeschooled children. Okay, there's companies that produce material for you to give your children, and they give you a textbook with all the answers in it, so you look like a genius to your child, but it's only because you've got the teacher's edition of the book with all the answers in it. It's the same thing as public school. Most of those teachers are dumber than rocks.
Absolutely. So many people, I remember when my wife was homeschooling my son, Daniel. His name's Daniel, too. How's that?
Good name.
Yes. And when she was homeschooling Daniel, I mean, we would talk to other couples and stuff and about you know, her doing that. They seem so intimidated, and it's like, are you kidding me? It's just, oh, God. And, you know, that kid he's 30 now, right, Pam?
Yeah.
He's 30 years old, and he's turned out so, so solid. I'm so proud of him. He's got three kids now. He is the best father you could ever imagine. I had my doubts there in the late teens and early 20s. I really had some serious doubts, but that's that time you go through where you don't even want to be near him. You know what I mean? But as he matured, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. All of my children went through it. I think Father does that because if we didn't, we'd want to keep them at home forever.
Yeah.
So he makes them turn into something called a teenager where you can't wait to get their ass out of the house.
It's repulsive, yes. They're greasy and nasty and, I don't want to be with you. And then they go out on their own. And in Daniel's case especially, I mean, he's 30 now, and he's just, like, very, very proud of him. So he's just doing everything the right way. So,
I think the
homeschooling foundation really, really, you know, I didn't homeschool our daughter, and she's much younger, and she's got a ways to go. And I think she will get there, but I think the homeschooling has paid off big dividends with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it paid off dividends for my children.
You did it with some of your kids and some you didn't, and you can see the difference yourself, right?
Right. I had my own control group. The first three were public schools. The second three were homeschool.
Right. I have a smaller control group, two kids. One I did, one we didn't. So, yeah.
I just got the thumbs up. We hit 103 listening now, so the numbers are going up. And for a small conference call like this, that's a lot of people. So I remember 20 years ago when we started the station, I was tickled pink if I had 5 people listening.
Wow. I give you major credit for the diligence. You know, when I first found your website, you got your archives there, and I think they went all the way back to about the late 90s, if I'm not mistaken. Is that when you started?
1999, right.
I actually, you know, I actually, when I first met you and you introduced me to CI and stuff, and I really was appreciative of that. I started to go to your website. This is years ago, and I listened to so many of your archives. I actually went back to around I was interested to see, you know, around the, you know, 2001 when September 11th occurred and everything, and you were right on the money. You were on top of that right off the bat. You were skeptical about it, so you've been preaching this message and consistently for almost about 20 years now, and so you got something that most of the newcomers, the Johnny Come Latelys, don't have. You've got a track record of consistency that is impeccable, and I can vouch for that. I've gone back to the archives and I've listened, not all of them, but I got enough of a taste of it to see that this guy's been consistent from the very beginning. So I was impressed with that, very much so.
Well, thank you, Henry. I appreciate that. That's kind words. And we just hit 104, so praise Yahweh. It has been an interesting a walk, because the radio show has allowed me to interview. I would think if I put the individuals on paper, it would be close to 1,000. A thousand different individuals. Many of them came on for many different shows. But over 1,000 individuals have been part of this program at one time or another. And they've taught me a lot by hearing their stories. Many of them couldn't get anybody on any kind of platform to allow their story to go out. I had a lady from Canada, her children were stolen from her by Child Protective Services, and I've had military guys, I've had people in the government, I've had nurses and doctors who came on to tell stories about what was going on in their life and to reveal criminality, wrongdoing, injustice, and it's been an eye-opener. So it hasn't always been just identity, but it's always been about truth. It's been about truth from day one.
Absolutely. That's the common thread. Yep.
Right.
And here I was. I was originally, I wasn't sure if I was going to stay on or not. I heard you talking about that song from Pastor Dave's video, and I happened to be familiar with the song, so I figured I'd just call in, let you know the name of the song and the artist that did it, so your viewers could check out the song without going through the whole thing there. And here I am two and a half hours later, and I'm still talking to you. So, folks out there, all you got to do is come in with one question with Dan, and he makes it so he puts you at ease, and it's just having a conversation. It's like having a cup of coffee with a friend. That's all it is.
The best compliment you could have paid me, Henry. Thanks.
Well, it's true, though. Yeah, I swear, I'll just give him that song title and artist, and I'll just get off and let other people, whatever, but hey, it's been a while. I can't, maybe it's because you were gone for so long, you know, 6 weeks, and you know, I kind of miss talking to you, I guess.
Yeah, I missed it too, and the occasion for me to be away was not fun.
Of course not, absolutely. I went through, you know, kind of a similar experience with my brother about a year before, so I kind of knew what you were going through. Brothers and sisters, come on, you know.
And so, I just found out here in the chat room that Steve Anderson, that's with Eurofolk Radio, he goes by Pastor Steve, just had a stroke.
Whoa. Wow.
So, they didn't have any other details other than that, but apparently a couple of days ago he had a stroke. So prayers, you know, I know we have our differences, some of the folks at EFR and myself, but I don't wish harm or ill on anybody. And so I would ask that prayers be for a healing there, and that he can recover.
Matter of fact, I think when you were at your last six months on EFR, which is when I first started talking to you, maybe before that, but didn't he come on your show from time to time when you were on EFR doing this show?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
He did. I think he may have come on one time when I was talking to you. Yeah, possibly.
Yep, yep. There were times. Yep.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's terrible news. That's unfortunate. So bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. Well, yep, I think we can wrap this one up for tonight, Henry, unless you got anything more you would like to chat about.
Do your thing now and close it up good, because you're the master.
You're making me blush, Henry. You can't see me, but you're making me blush. All right, buddy, you guys take good care. Did you guys move yet?
Oh, my God. You know, someday I'll send you an email. I'll update you, because it's been... Yeah, it's too long to get it.
Okay.
She's laughing. Yeah, but you're forgiven, buddy.
Okay, Yahweh bless. Take care.
Take care.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Henry up in Connecticut and his wife. Angel says here that we've hit 108, so praise Yahweh for that. 108 souls with us tonight. 110 just went up. This word is getting out. You can trust it, folks. Yahweh is with us, because if he wasn't, I'd have gone down many years ago. I was warned by friends and family to be careful. The people I was talking about are very powerful. But like I told them, you know, well, are you saying they're more powerful than my Father in heaven? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you believe? I choose not to, okay? I know my only protection as I walk this earth is my faith and my walk with the King of Kings. That's it. I have no weapons that can prevail against them. I have no money. I have no political backing. I have no army. All I have is the same thing that the prophets of old had, and that is to do his will on this earth as it is in heaven, as the Lord's Prayer says. It's really that simple, folks. You walk in lockstep with the Father, or you don't. And Psalm 91 and many other scriptures talk about the fact that he is with those who love him and revere him. And he knows I love and revere him, because my whole life reflects his teachings. Everything in my life reflects his teachings. That's why I get so many angry discussions with certain people on certain topics, because they don't understand. I don't care about what people think. I only care about what my Father in heaven thinks. It's not that I'm arrogant. It's not that I don't think people matter. It's that I think he matters more. That's all. And I know. I've been given the vision. I can see it. A world operating under his system works for everybody. I see it clearly. Maybe that's part of it. It's not arrogance. It's not that I think I'm better than anybody else. It's just that he's given me that knowledge and that vision. I've seen it. His system works. This thing we've got out here doesn't work. Look at it. It's terrible. It's terrible. So we're going to end tonight at 111 with us. So praise Yahweh for that. May he bless each and every soul that's with us and those that listen later on. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for our callers, Curtis and Henry, and the wonderful time we've had to discuss these matters and share them with our brothers and sisters out there. Fellowshipping is what we're doing, and you've blessed that. You said, where two or more come together in my name, I am there with them also. We can feel your presence, Father. I feel your presence. I'm sure every listener feels the Holy Spirit upon them. And that's a blessing that these other folks don't have, folks. That's why we can be courageous in this time of peril and lies and deception. It's everywhere. But we can stand tall and be the righteous examples. We can be the standard that represents our Father before men by living his law and showing others that it works. That's all we can do, is to stand against the evil. And Father, we ask you to walk with us and hold our hands tighter. We're pitiful people. I don't care what age we are, how much money we have, how much knowledge we have. We're nothing compared to you. We are as little children to you. And we have to lean upon you if we're going to make it through this world. Because you're the only rock and refuge we have. You're the only standard that we can look to that doesn't betray us and doesn't mislead us and lie to us and steal from us. You are the rock. You are our fortress in these latter days. Again, thank you for this platform and this chance to share. Thank you for our wonderful guests. Thank you for our callers. And we ask a blessing upon each and every warrior that's out there. We're in a war, whether they be female or male. We are warriors in a war, and we ask the soldiers' ransom upon those that have paid that ransom. $3, that's it, $3. And I know some of you have done it. You've sent me notes saying that you've taken a portion of a donation or some money out of your wallet, and you put it to Yahweh's work. For truth or for charity, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's the ransom. It's supposed to be small. It's not the amount that matters, it's the heart that matters. And so we ask that you bless the battle axes, the warriors that are out there in this tough, tough fight, an ideological fight, an enemy that will go to any lengths to win. Up to and including murder. If it weren't for you, Father, we'd be destitute and alone. We'd be defeated. We would already be gone. Praise and glory be to your name. We ask that you walk with us, guide us, give us courage, give us a clear discernment, stiff backbone, energy. And mostly we ask that you protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.